There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date is the 29th of July, 2014, and it is just about 1 minute and 37 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time. We're broadcasting tonight out of the barn at the home place here in Oklahoma, USA. And tonight is a little different because we want you to reflect. We want you to recall. We want you to take a moment and frankly, if you do it correctly, it's not going to be very fun. It might be unpleasant. You might even find yourself wanting to send an email or a text or buy somebody dinner or supper tomorrow for no other reason than you feel a little guilty. Over the 2,000-year history of man's on-again, off-again relationship with Christ, not so much man himself, but mankind as a civilization and a society, and more finite to the point, organized religion. There's been a constant denominator from the very outset that there's a balancing act between good and evil. That there's grace and there's sin, and there's heaven and hell, and there's God and there's Satan. And in their infinite power and wisdom, well, there's little o' you in a tug of war right in the middle. Many of you might be agreeing with this statement right now. Lord knows that there are literally millions of people being shoveled this stuff on a weekly basis in structures and buildings and TV shows and convention halls around the globe on a weekly, daily basis. Just because you've been served a consistent diet of information, a regimented and regular routine of what's acceptable and how to worship, has no bearing on your relationship with Christ. Because if it did, you wouldn't listen to this show. You wouldn't listen to anybody. You wouldn't go see anybody because you'd spend all your time with grace and God. The fact that a point has been made in the evolution of man's relationship and religious hyperbole habits with Jesus proves this to be true. That there has to be a middleman, a no-fly zone, a neutral area that you're supposed to achieve for, but yet you never really acquire it. So many people die, so many people suffer in hospital beds, and so many people feel totally alone in the world in a house full of friends and relatives on holidays, that any relationship with Christ, any answered prayer, has been boiled down to be nothing more than a carrot on a stick. That no matter what I do, no matter what I say, how I live, how I dress, no matter how much money I tithe, I just never get to that finish line. But the point of tonight's show is, there is no finish line. How can you work so hard? How are you supposed to earn something? How are you supposed to be given something that you were born with? That's no different than someone presenting you with a bill and a list of chores and ideologies and tasks to perform to pay for your fingers and toes that you were born with. You have to earn your feet. You have to earn your fingers. And now, since you mentioned it, there are certain things that you have to say and do to be able to breathe and see. Because that's the way grace and God's love is presented to so many people. And Jim, it's these feelings that are literally sold to people, given to people, almost, you almost want to say brainwashed, hoodwinked, lied to, however you choose to put it, that really keeps people from God's love.
It keeps people from God's love, and it certainly keeps people from experiencing God. I, through the introduction there, am just listening and thinking to myself, you know, the whole experience of God's grace, the fact that grace is really upon this earth and is available for every creature from the moment that you're born. I mean, think about the scriptures that we've learned for so long, that we've used for the wonderful start of salvation that every child of God has, when it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that for by grace are you saved through faith, that it's not of yourself, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that grace is there that draws you an open heart and an open mind. A searching heart and a searching mind draws you to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would give somebody an inkling that there's more to life than what they're experiencing. That's all the grace of God that would cause an individual to have a reality alert that doesn't know God but realize the track that I'm on, the experiences of life that I'm having, they're just not cutting it. They're not making it. There's got to be more to life than this. And that could be someone that's on Skid Row. That could be a drug addict. That could be someone in jail. But that could be a high-powered attorney, someone, the head of a business. It could be a mother of a home. It could be a child that finally comes to themselves and says, there's got to be more to life than this. That's all grace. And grace is working. God's grace is available even before you're saved, to help draw you to truth and to help shield you from error. So if that's correct, and it is, why is this whole thing so hard? Why does it seem like people struggle so much? Why shouldn't experiencing God be so easy? Why does it seem like, for the most part, people can go an entire lifetime, quote-unquote, saved, never really experience God, and say to you, if you were to ask them, no, I've never heard the Lord speak to me. I don't know that he's ever said anything to me. Isn't it interesting that we're asking these questions, presenting these thoughts here tonight? Because you, especially that are listening, that are regulars, you know, by listening to this introduction and the beginning, the top of this show, that everything about what we're saying is to reveal that we have literally been taken down a wrong road, that religion has masked us, covered our eyes, blindfolded us, and hindered the very most natural experience that a human being could have, and that is to come face to face to God.
Well, first, the first thing I want to say is you had no idea what this show was going to be about tonight.
No,
we never
no.
picked a topic.
I told you I was struggling right in the kitchen. I said, I'm struggling. I don't know.
4 minutes before the show started, you were polluting my hay ground with golf balls.
With one golf ball.
You must have hit 15 or 20.
No, with one.
He does this sometimes. Before the show, he brings his stupid little golf clubs and his dumb little golf balls, and he just swats them all over my hay ground.
You said it was okay because the chickens, you train the new little chicks on those golf balls to learn how to sit on an egg. So I'm just helping the ranch.
Okay. The chicken coop is an eighth of a mile southwest of this barn on the ranch.
Well, I should have swung that direction.
And you're hitting your golf balls. You're hitting your golf balls northeast. And how far do you hit them? 200 yards?
No, I hit them farther than that.
Okay, so then that means that you are polluting the ranch with golf balls over a quarter mile away in the wrong compass heading from the chicken coop.
Well, I'm going to bring a 9-iron the next time and go right over top of the barn toward the chicken coop.
Well, I don't care if your clothes are ironed or starched. You can do whatever you want with your iron. Folks, if you want to send an email to the show, it's the radio show's name, The Abiding Presence. There's no capital letters, no spaces. It's just The Abiding Presence at Gmail, the letter G, gmail.com. If you would like to send a text message, the first word that you type in your message is the word grace. After you type the word grace, continue with your question or comment, and then when you press the send button, for us to get your text in the barn, there's no one, there's no area code, it's just five numbers, 69302. The contact information on how to send us an email or how to send us a text message, it's on the radio show's website, theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. We love emails, we love text messages. So, we have emails.
Well, good, already?
Already, we have some. We got one here. It says, listening, learning, loving this. Thanks. Interested in hearing your answer to how do I get to rock bottom. This was sent 43 minutes ago. This is from somebody named Vicky. Jim, we talked about rock bottom, how you finally have to come to terms with the fact that I'm tired of my prayers not working. I want grace. I've heard about grace. I believe in God. Where in the world is he? I know I'm no worse than anybody else on the planet. I'm done. Right. How do you get to that point where you finally have an open heart and an open mind?
Well, first of all, there's two answers I'm going to give you. The first one is more theological, okay? So in other words, a couple scriptures thrown in that just shows you that when you come to God, when you come to Jesus, you've come to the end of your life as you knew it. Now, maybe you haven't heard that before. And for those of us who have heard that, I could pretty well bank on the fact that probably 9.9 out of 10 have never really considered their life to be finished, the one that they had. But that's exactly what happened. Paul said it just as simple as can be over in Romans chapter 10, that when Christ died on the cross, you died with him. When he came alive, we came alive with him, and we're to consider ourselves to be dead to our old life, but be alive unto God. So right there, theologically, with Scripture, it shows you we're supposed to have a completely brand new life, like an about-face experience, meet God, and then begin to walk toward God, and everything about our life that we knew that was important literally stops right then, right there. Now, the other part that I was going to give you is just more of the practical, which is you think about come to the end of yourself. You think about rock bottom. And the one thing that stands out in my mind, and I usually like to hear BJ's thoughts on it because we see things, you know, from different perspectives. But when I think of rock bottom, I think of somebody that has let go, somebody that no longer is holding on. And when you ask holding on to what, well, that would be holding on to all the options that this world, humanity, can give you. And when you come to the end of yourself, you're literally saying, there's nothing that man can do for me. There's nothing that my learned behavior gives me any right to believe that something positive is going to happen. Nothing in my life that is causing me to feel like I'm going to succeed. I literally have nowhere to turn. And at that moment, you let go of what you know. And that's when you can turn to God.
I think the term rock bottom or at wit's end or I've just had enough, I'm done, I give up. I think depending on who you are, I think they all apply. I think it's about coming to terms with your own failure to produce. You finally realize that no matter what you do, you're not going to turn the clock back. You don't get a do-over. It's just not working. And the only thing that I haven't tried, the only thing that is the same, that hasn't changed, is me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no matter who you are, no matter how you come to a place in your heart and mind, and you can admit that to yourself in the bathroom mirror, you're humbled. And I've always felt that in Scripture, people really don't understand the power of humbling. Because it's not something that we're used to.
Not in the day we live, is it?
No, I mean, couple decades ago, there was pet rocks and have a nice day with a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about pleasure. It's all about self-entitlements and what we deserve and what we've earned.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many religious organizations that talk about the riches and the wealths that everybody should be living in a mansion with millions of dollars. Like, once you have God, you have a lottery ticket to get you anything you want. But interestingly enough, all the people in Scripture who joined a wonderful relationship with the guys, they were basically bums, homeless wanderers with not a penny to their name. Because There's a balancing act between living on this planet and understand that you are a mammal, you are a living being, but yet having a connection with Christ, realizing that there is something Christ-like in all of us that we're born with.
Right.
It's kind of like the saying, you can take the boy off the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can live a fleshly, worldly life. It just means that the spirit that's inside of you is collecting dust. And to slam the brakes on.
Right, right.
And to say, wait a minute. I've got a job. I've got money in the bank. I'm managing my bills. We got a nice home. The kids are in school. And we have a nice life. And things are okay. It's hard to realize that none of those things have anything to do with the relationship with the guys.
Right.
They're not bad. They're not sinful. They're just in your way.
Yeah. Well, Jesus made the comment that a man that was rich would be very difficult to enter into the kingdom of God. And he said it like this. He said, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it into heaven. And he's just talking about an individual that has his needs met or his attention on the earth and of fleshly, worldly things.
Well, and isn't there somewhere in Scripture where it talks about where I think it's Moses is having a conversation with the guys, and he says, people want to get married, and the guys say, well, we really don't want him to get married because when a man gets married, he worries about worldly things instead of spiritual things.
Yeah, Paul talks about that over in I believe it's 1 Corinthians. He says, if you're married, then the husband and the wife have to meet the needs of each other. Rather, if you're not married, then your total attention is upon God. And he said, if you are of the person who doesn't need to get married, this would be better. He said, and yet if you're burning, then I do say get married. But you need to know that there's limitations there.
And look at what Jesus did to his buddies that followed him around. He literally told them to turn their backs on their lives.
Yeah, it reminds me.
Family, friends, their jobs, mm-hmm. Not even take their fishing nets home. Just
right.
Leave them on the beach and head on out.
Yeah.
And look at Moses. He didn't just walk away from his family. He walked away from thousands of people. He told his brother, no, you do it. I'm going camping with Christ. There's examples in here to show that there is something inside of each person that's born on this planet. Those who have died, those who are living, and those that aren't even conceived yet. There is something inside all of us that has nothing to do with the body or the planet we live on.
Right. Yeah, I like that. That's real good.
I just made that up.
In fact, you can see, if you were to go to Las Vegas, think of it this way, folks. If you were to go to Las Vegas and go down the Las Vegas Strip there, I don't know, Sunset, whatever the Strip is.
I don't know. I've never been to Las Vegas.
I've been there. And you can see all the lights and all the fancy hotels and all the rigmarole that's there. I mean, one way you could look at that is to say, whoever's creating all this obviously seems to have some type of void that they're trying to fulfill, some type of reason to do something that would seem to bring contentment somewhere, somehow. And the contentment can really only come not from lights and fancy things of this world, but the contentment comes from a relationship with God. You know, I look through the Scripture, and I'm constantly doing that, as you would imagine, as a minister, and I'm praying, and I'm with people, and I'm preaching, and I'm listening to people. Something that I've learned a long time ago to do is, in the midst of preaching, to be open to people asking questions. After the sermons, talk to folks when they say they liked it, or to ask people, how did you like it, if they're not offering any thoughts. Did you get a hold of anything? What did you get? What did you like the most? I do these kind of things to make some type of a connection with people to figure out what's really going on inside of folks. And I'll just make a blanket statement like this. The majority of the people that I come in contact with, of course, and most of the people I'm around, are people that are in buildings, that are in what we would call churches, and they're there to learn, to know something about God. But I'll say this, the majority of the people pretty well feel like to get ahead with God, to progress and go further with God, to get a prayer answered, to somehow, some way, get God to talk to me, to come and be with me, is a very difficult thing.
Well, it is, because there's really no other information that people are provided. There's very rare places where people's personal family history provides any type of a recipe or roadmap to enjoy grace. Frankly, it's just the opposite.
Right.
If you look at what is called closed societies, devout Mormons, Amish, Mennonites, American Indians, Eskimo tribes, Aborigines in Australia, Jehovah Witnesses. These groups, they all have one common denominator. They realize that there's more than what meets the eye. That the way they conduct themselves on a daily basis has a bearing to a future that has nothing to do with the life that they're living now.
Right.
And that there are things that really are not dangerous, that aren't harmful, that really have no consequence, but yet, for lack of a better word, they keep you busy or they're a distraction that allows you to get off the track.
Sure.
Radios, televisions, sports, dancing, medicine, all kinds of education. Many religious groups feel that once a person can read and write their name and they can do basic math, that's really all the schooling that is required.
Mm-hmm.
That it's time to be part of the community and to start to build a relationship with the guys and to realize that you've got a to-do list.
Well, what about, and of course, we've talked about some of these things for years, but what about all the people that, and this is one of the reasons why, folks, we talk about this, the people that are in their religious services from week to week, and they're surrounded by even the ministers from building to building and place to place that are barely getting past themselves to experience God on their own. And they're surrounded by people with genuine love and great great determination to find God, but they're surrounded by people that don't have any experiences, no testimonies.
Right.
And this becomes the subtlety of actually what you're learning more than what you're hearing when you hear the message. You're learning more by what you're surrounded by than you are even by what is preached.
If a dog is tied to a tree, chained to a tree, and they've only got 10 or 12 feet of chain, there's always no grass, there's a bare patch around the tree. That's real distinct on what the travel area is of the dog. If that dog has puppies, the overwhelming majority of the litter, even though they're untethered, will spend the overwhelming majority of their life within the confounds of that length of chain with their mother. Because that's the world they know. That's where mom is. That's where the food was when they were babies. That's where mom's water is. When they're afraid, when they're hot, when they're cold, when they want to play. Everything about who defines them is within the limits of that length of chain on that tree.
Right.
Some will roam, but yet it's home. And that's the reality that they're born into. I think you can apply this to how people worship the guys and religious organizations.
I think so too.
There's no limits and there's no boundaries to what can be accomplished by the individual with Christ. If there was, there wouldn't be such amazing stories in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Of average Joe Schmoes doing things, if there was.
Right.
There wouldn't be a statement like, you will do greater works than me, ask and you shall receive, all your sins are forgiven, if it wasn't supposed to be taken at face value that there are no limits and boundaries on what anybody can do. Otherwise, nobody would have walked on water with Jesus.
Right.
But yet, organized religion has nothing but limits and boundaries and rules. They want everybody to be on the same page at the same time and on the same sentence, same paragraph, and same word. And they want it to mean exactly the same thing to everyone in the building. There isn't anything like that in Scripture. It's just the opposite.
Right.
It talks about how people are individuals and how, and quite frankly, we have a lot of adult children and their parents listen, like Sue and Barb, their mom and dad, the outlaw bikers in California.
Right.
The senior citizen outlaw bikers. And then we have couples like Dave and Barb.
Right.
And the Millets that, you know, live by the South Pole in Trinidad.
Right.
That I know that they enjoy the show because they tell us. And I hope that they know that just because they both enjoy the show and they listen to the show together, that their relationships with Christ are theirs and theirs alone.
Right.
That if they listen to the show and the show benefits them and they get stuff out of the show, that as two individuals, two human beings that are not related by marriage, that has nothing to do with the blood that runs through their veins, that their own relationship with Christ is on them. Because once you realize that it's you and only you, it makes it real easy to go back to what we talked about 29 minutes ago.
Right, right.
On how finally you're going to say, it's me. It's on me. I can't blame anybody. I can't thank anybody. It's up to me to choose.
Yeah, and I look at Jesus, and his words were so strong to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to the religious leaders, because he knew that there was such an influence that they had over people. And especially when people are opening their hearts and their minds to the real part of them. In other words, to the real part of them, which is their spirit, the inward man, to have a relationship with God. And if you open your heart and your mind to that way, and yet the information or the osmosis, the learning by osmosis, the learning by example or lack of example, it literally is like a mockingbird that opens up its mouth and just takes anything in. And Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, he said here, talking to religious people, he said, "You're frauds. I've had it with you. You're hopeless. You religious scholars, you Pharisees, frauds. Your lives are," listen to this, "roadblocks to God's kingdom. You refuse to enter and then won't let anyone else in either. You're hopeless. You religious scholars and Pharisees, you're frauds. You go halfway around the world to make a convert, but once you get him, you make him into a replica of yourself. Double damned. You're hopeless. What arrogant stupidity." And then he goes on to say other things as well. But the point here, and I'm going to just be honest with you and kind of bare my soul for a second. Over the last, some of you that have been around for a while on this show, I bet you if you've listened to 4 or 5 shows, maybe some of the earlier shows as well, 10 shows, or if you're just insightful and you've listened to one, you can probably tell that BJ has pretty much of a goal.
Goal?
I was going to say goal, or kind of almost like you're on assignment to reveal how wrong modern religion is and why it is so damaging to a person's relationship with God.
I offer information and a perspective.
And I want to back that up by saying,
you know, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, very accurate. I'm going to back that up by saying, even this past weekend, and you see, I'm continuing to grow, folks. I'm pretty much an open book when it comes to that. I'm growing and I'm developing. And people that are real close to me, family that's close, as I see them grow and develop, I watch them begin to experience some of the things that maybe a couple years ago I started experiencing. I know my wife, Erin, and I were at a service over a week ago, and I know that we, not in a meanful way or a harmful way or trying to just be negative, but we had to look at each other and just quietly give each other little thoughts as an individual was speaking to say, oh my goodness, this really means nothing. This isn't really helping. This whole point is not going to connect people to God. It's just a point. It's kind of pointless in a sense. And I know Erin made the comment even afterwards. She said, you know, the hardest part about this is I was expecting something that I could really use, and it really didn't go anywhere. And I said, you're exactly right. It didn't go anywhere. And she said, and the hardest part is I don't think very many people in this room are thinking what we're thinking. I think they're all thinking it was the most amazing thing in the world. I said, well, that's the reason why then they won't go anywhere. And so I'm beginning to grow. And the more I'm beginning to grow, the more I'm beginning to see what's right and what's wrong. I would love if you right now would take my statement that I just made. I'm beginning to see what's right and what's wrong. And if there are any of you that are out there that can say yay and amen, or just say yes, that's me, or elaborate a little bit, send in an email or send a text. And BJ, did you go over how to send the text and email?
I did. We've had a couple texts. The way you send a text is the word you put in first is grace. You type the word grace, and then you send it to this five-digit number, 69302, after you finish your message. It says, was listening to last Wednesday night and looked up the word resolute. Could you read the meaning? It really helped me. Well, we can certainly do that. Let's see. We type in resolute. And let's see what comes up. Resolute. Determined, purposeful, resolved, adamant, single-minded, firm, unswerving, unwavering, steadfast, staunch, stalwart, unfaltering, unhesitating, persistent, indefatigable, tenacious, strong-willed, and unshakable. Sounds
like you're not going to budge.
Sounds like Ranger.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a dog. She wants to be a dog. She loves being a dog. She's going to stay a dog. So Ranger is resolute. Got a text that just came in. I agree with you totally. That's all it says. So I guess they're agreeing that Ranger's a dog. We got one here that says, Can you give us some specifics about what a day with grace looks like? Thank you. Well, a day with grace is a day with Christ. What it looks like, or what it feels like, or smells like, or tastes like, well, that's none of your business. And it's not my businesses or Jim's. It's private. It's personal. It depends on what type of relationship with the guys you have. It depends on how effective you are at turning your back on your life and your flesh in the world to be exposed to grace. What it looks like is going to be as different as everybody trying to describe what the day was like. How many clouds were in the sky, when they saw the sun, whether the wind was blocked because of a building or whether they were out in a field with no wind block at all. Who's to say what time they got out of bed? Were they hungry? Were they limping? Who knows? To describe exactly the specifics of what a day with grace is like, about all you can say is that once you've had a day with the guys, nothing else really matters. There are very few things that are important anymore. And the reason is because the truth has been provided. And the truth being is that so be it if you're a human being. But what's really important is you're a child of God. You're a spirit being.
I was going to add.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. I was going to add from my point of view a couple of generalities about a day with grace. I've come to really, really, really enjoy each and every day. My days are filled with peaceful thoughts, peaceful feelings. with a lot of gratification. I find myself enjoying things that I would overlook years ago, would totally have overlooked. And I find myself enjoying all kinds of small and what other people may think insignificant things. I find myself having a lot of appreciation because grace is doing things for me on a regular basis. And to get specific, it has a lot to do with what I'm actually doing that day. But I notice even in days where I'm not even in one sense looking for grace, I'm finding it all the time anyhow. Does that make sense, BJ? It's like...
It does.
It's like grace, you get used to having it with you. So even if you aren't purposefully being conscious of it, in just... It's kind of like from moment to moment, it's there. And he's there. And your enjoyment pretty well starts to take over wanting to have a life be any other way.
We got an email that came in about 9 hours ago. It says, you can mention my name. It says, BJ and Jim, love your show and your message of absolute truth from the Word of God. Your emphasis on our personal relationship and intimacy with the guys with grace, which I love this correlation. It makes it so simple. It says, I just want to understand that I am not deceiving myself by taking the scriptures and the freedom of grace and abusing it to fit my lifestyle. It says, listening to the words, view, and concessions of bees and enacting in defiance, please understand I'm not being critical. I just want to understand that I'm not deceiving myself. It says, I guess what they're I'm trying to figure it out here. It says...
I'm thinking about what?
Well, it kind of goes. It's kind of long, and it kind of trying to figure this out. You just got a girl. How's different ones? I don't know what. I guess I'm not quite sure what this person is trying to say.
I don't know if they're being specific.
They're bringing up lots of points and topics from the show, but they never really ask a question. Just says, tell Ranger. Chubby the Toy Poodle from Illinois says hi.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of neat. I like that, Chubby the Toy Poodle. But they like the show, but I'm not really understanding their email. And I don't want to say their name because I don't want them to feel, you know. We got one here that just came in. It says, yes, Jim and BJ, we were finding ourselves in the same club of sitting there and not being on the same page. Disheartening at times, and I don't want to sound... hoity, but saying disheartening, I would like to qualify it. It's disheartening when the people are not hungering for more and don't realize they're starving. Our question then becomes now, what for us? Sipping on grace, Keisha and Brian in Pennsylvania. And then we got another email here. It says, thanks for all your work. I've been listening for almost a year and been able to take some big leaps in my relationship with the help of hearing you guys challenging me, finding out what is real in my life. January, I took up the guitar, and I play every day and have made great strides the Lord put on my heart years ago. I knew I had musical ability, but was too lazy. I have now written a number of songs, which the Holy Spirit gave me, and it is a great enjoyment for me and others. Just a witness of God's goodness. Thank you. More to come. And this is from someone named Jeff.
Nice.
I've always had this theory that, because I just didn't want to do it. But I think if someone sits down and they spend enough time and they have enough interest in it, that you can... learn that just about anybody can learn to play a musical instrument. Now, I don't know how good it'll be, but I think that, you know, practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that old joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that applies to a relationship with the guys.
Right.
How do you find grace? How do you have the guys right there talking with you? And how do you enjoy your prayers being instantly answered? By realizing that the time and effort that you put in elsewhere in your life obviously has no bearing on your spiritual life.
Right.
That what wherever your energy's going, whatever you're doing, it obviously is not the right direction, and it's not the right recipe for success. Because that is humbling. You're saying, this isn't working. I'm going the wrong direction. I'm doing the wrong thing the wrong way. It isn't working. It hasn't worked. It doesn't seem like it works for anybody else. I think I need to change. Well, there you have it. Now, not only are you humbling, but you're repenting. You're not saying you're a bad person. You're not saying you're a sinful person. You're just saying, this isn't the right way.
Right.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, you remember Jesus made the comment to the disciples when they couldn't cast out that demon. And he made the comment in the Message Bible. It says, what a generation. No sense of God. No focus to your lives. And then he made a comment direct to the disciples when they said, how could we not cast this demon out? And he said, because you're not taking God seriously yet. And I think this has a lot to do with what's going on in this counterculture that we've got that's so deceived and so full of self and so full of the things of the world and materialism and the American dream and so on and so forth. I think this has so much to do with the distractions that take people away from being serious about spiritual things. And nowadays, with all the plan B, C, D, E, and Fs that are out there, people have so many options to stay the same and just get some other self-help to try to cure the problem, where they don't have to make an adjustment within. And it's a whole lot easier for people to do that than it is to say, let's seek God and get an answer from Him. Well, if they can go down and just with their health care get somebody to snip something out of their body, they'd rather do that and just not even change, right? That's one of the things I see that's a real, I could say, opponent to the grace of God. And it's the sign of the time. I wanted to finish sharing with you what I was sharing earlier when I made the comment about our shows and some of the things that BJ shares from week to week. The reason why I was saying that I've come to see more what's accurate, I'm coming to find out more what's wrong. As I'm growing, I'm finding that that's something that grace is doing for me. And I'll throw this in as a little side journey. When I grew up in my Baptist home, I pretty much prayed, I did, every single night I'd pray. And one of the things that I would pray every single night was from Proverbs, where God grant me discernment between right and wrong. And that's right up the alley of grace being with you. And I'm just going to share this, folks, as a personal testimony. That's why I opened it up for others to testify in the like manner, that I'm seeing things so much more open now to the detriment of modern religion. I mean, everything about our experience with God should be so simple. It doesn't have to be difficult. And if it's difficult for you, if you're finding, like I do many times, where there's so much effort that we're putting into this to have something that should be effortless, then it goes right back to the religion and the way of doing life that you've learned, that you've been taught over the years. And I'm becoming less and less nervous about making these statements on our show, because it is the religion that's keeping back people's experiences with God. And it's becoming more and more apparent to me as I learn. So if that's something, again, I put that little thought out there to you, that if you'd like to write in and let us know if that's something that you're finding as well, then we can all rejoice that we're moving forward and progressing.
We just got a text in. It says, hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, USA, Dennis and Muriel Mattson. And it just so happens, Dennis and Muriel.
Yes.
That sound is an envelope with the return address of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, with the name Mattson on it. And we're going to open it up. I don't have a letter opener, so I'm just going to... Can you tell I just opened it up?
Yeah, I can tell.
Well, it looks like Dennis and Muriel, Jim, want to help out the show. They sent...
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was. It's going to go to keep the lights and electricity on.
In fact, you know,
internet going.
We've had a couple weeks in a row where people have just been thoughtful and real kind to send something to us.
I know. It always takes me by surprise. Oh, you want that?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Even though it's torn to shreds.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not
okay.
good at opening up. Well, you know, I don't, you know. I mean, I would gladly go to the post office every week.
If
I knew there was stuff there. Because when the show first started, I would go a couple times a week for months.
Right.
And there was never any mail for the show.
Hmm.
And so what I did is I started, you know, waiting for someone to send an email, say, hey, I mailed you guys something. Go to the post office.
Did you used to get a lot of mail on your horse show?
When I was on traditional radio, AM and FM stations in about 13 states,
mm-hmm.
yeah, lots of photographs.
Weekly.
Lots of pictures of horses.
Mm-hmm. That they wanted you to comment on or just to see?
Oh, just, this is my horse, this is my friend, or,
okay.
you know, what's wrong with this horse's eye, or what's this cut, swelling,
mm-hmm.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know, these kind of things, medical stuff. Or they'd show me their barn, or they'd say, you know, is this a good fence, bad fence?
Right.
But when I went from regular radio to the internet, then it turned into Facebook stuff and Facebook messages, emails.
Okay.
Like, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, we got one that came in about 3 minutes ago. It says, I like everything you're saying. At the same time, there are very real financial debts, deadlines, bills to be paid, payrolls to be met with very stressful deadlines. Help. Then it says, laugh out loud. I experience healing and wellness, answered prayers. Finances seem to be my area of challenge, which I'm not even taking or not even talking, trying to be filthy rich. Are trying to be filthy rich. I'm talking just meaning payroll, paying staff, and there are very real consequences when these things aren't met or paid. In the past, In the past, I've read teaching tithing is the key. I understand your positions on that. Any thoughts are helpful. I know you guys have overheads to meet and may have been spread thin at points in your life. Please share. The closer I get to the guys, the less I care about anything. And the less I care and the less I worry, the more it just seems to go just fine. I'll tell you one of the... And this really depends on the person. For me, it was depressing. It was sad. And it was also very ego-damaging, ego-deflating. When I realized that grace does a better job of taking care of my life and making decisions than I did for myself on my own.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Jim, you know, I got people work here. You've worked here. I got machinery. There's dangers. There's crops have got to get in the barn so other people can buy those crops. I mean, there's a lot of things, and I don't care. Because when I start to care... then that means that I start to eliminate the ability of grace to care.
Right.
You know, there you can only have one cook in the kitchen. You can only have one captain at the helm of a ship. And there's a pilot that pilots the plane. And only one person at a time makes command decisions and steers where you go. And I think one of the things that is unfortunate about organized religion and living on this planet, in this world, and especially in a country that is modern, electricity, microwave ovens, and television, you know.
Right.
That unless you do it, unless you want it, unless you work for it, no one's going to give it to you. And you're not supposed to work. Jesus paid for it. He earned it for us. And we're born with it. So there's nothing about grace that fits into an average person's way of looking at things.
Right. Sure.
Or how they achieve anything.
Yep.
It would literally be just the opposite. And I think to answer this person's email, Chris, I think they got to realize that what he's saying is at the same time there are very real financial debts, real deadlines, real bills, real payrolls that are very stressful. Well, the more stressful they are, the more real they are, the less room there is for grace.
Yeah, it's like a snowball going down the wrong side of the hill.
Yeah, how can God help you when you don't, when you're so busy, I guess, for lack of a better word, you're so busy acknowledging these temporary issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say this because in our Wednesday night services that are at the Hardesty Library at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we'll be meeting tomorrow night. Had a real good meeting, in fact, last week. We had about 45 people that came. And my purpose isn't to try to get a lot of people. It's to help people to have a real quality of life by experiencing God. The same type of things that we do here on the show. Well, we've never made finances here on the show ever any issue, and we never will. Well, I've never made finances an issue in these Bible studies. I've never even taken up an offering for a year and a half. Well, I did that on purpose, but I'm going to share something that happened that I felt led to do, and that was starting in the month of June, because we were receiving so many testimonies of people, and continue to do that, of people in the service of those 40, 45 people that are experiencing God on a regular basis and beginning to really enjoy the grace of God. Then I wanted to experiment with some of those laws that are in the Bible, the giving and receiving laws, the seed, time, and harvest. Those are some laws that are in the Scriptures. In fact, if you look at people that are in the world that just follow some of those laws about giving, you find that individuals do extremely well. So I wanted to give people an opportunity to believe in their connection with grace and their connection with God. And I said, let's take the next 2 months and we'll just have a basket in the back. And if you feel like you want to give something, then give. But when you do, believe that you have a connection. And the fact that you have testimonies proves that it's so. Well, we've got a whole slew of testimonies now financially of grace doing things in people's lives, from one of the individuals that needed a job, that got a job, that was getting maybe a couple of car sales a week, to getting a car sale every single day. It's just picked up. God just brings them people that are ready to buy. There seems to be a real connection while they talk, and people are purchasing cars from them. So from that, to other individuals that have said, since I've begun to give, and I'm experiencing grace, I mean, the jobs that are coming in are bigger jobs and more often. So I want to encourage you as well, just like BJ said, this is just a little different of a way of saying it, that why do we need to be so worried about the deadlines if you'll put your energy on believing in your connection that you have with grace and the ability of God to actually do what he needs to do for you, you'll find you'll have greater success. There's no doubt about it that you will.
We got a text that came in. It says, "We agree, Jim. Great show, Rob and Dorothea." That's okay. New Jersey, right?
New Jersey, yes.
Okay. We got an email here. And remember, folks, if you want to email the show, the way you email the show is it's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G, gmail.com. Also, if you'd like to text the show the way some have tonight, we love emails and we love texts, even if you just want to say hello and hear your name on the show. The way you text the show is the first thing that you do is you type the word grace, and then you send it to 69302 is your send number, 69302. It says, "Jim and BJ still loving the show. We often feel like that at our church, knowing that the message is not helping anyone and completely disagreeing in our hearts, we are trying to be absolute about what is wrong without being overly critical. Ever since my first meeting with you, I've been seeing more and more wrong. I actually had a dream that I needed to listen to the radio show more. In the dream, Jim looked at me and said, 'If you're not getting it Sundays, you better listen Tuesday nights. All the best.'" This is from somebody named Lauren. Do you know who that would be?
No, not sure.
Because I haven't met any. Well, it's got to be you that she met. You meet a lot of people. I don't really meet that many people.
I appreciate what you said, though.
I do, too. We got one here. It says, "Hey, Ranger and friends, shout out to Nick in Statesville and the Yokelys. Great show. Hi to all the great folks listening tonight that are hungry and that are showing their tendency toward being humble by listening to the show week after week. I think the topic of being deceived is spot on. The more we wake up, the more we realize how much we've been deceived. This realization is why we are all renewing our minds daily. Look forward to seeing Jim this weekend in North Carolina. Breakfast Ed." Are you going to be in North Carolina this weekend?
I'm going to go to breakfast this weekend. Yep.
Yeah, nobody cares. Why are you laughing?
Because you so quickly enjoyed what I said.
We got one here from Ronald. It says, "Listening from Detroit, Michigan. Great show. We need so much more absoluteness in our world. I am really starting to get this. I used to feel somewhat lost listening to both of you. All of a sudden, BJ, who uses a lot of similes and metaphors, is making absolute, profoundly perfect sense to me. So I am finally getting it. Praise God."
Did you know that's what you were using?
I really haven't thought much about it, actually.
I didn't think so, but it's good to know that that's what that means.
I guess, yeah. I'll make note of that.
Metaphors.
And similes.
Similes.
"I have also stopped caring about this world and seeing relationships with my kids getting better. But I also want to ask you, how will you interpret the scripture which admonishes us to obey them they have the rule over, considering your posturing towards buildings?" Do you know what he's referring to? He literally put it in quotes, "obey them they have the rule over."
Obey them that have the rule over you. Well,
what, I don't know what that means.
I think I'd have to just look it up on my thing and get the context.
Well, look it up. I got another email here.
Okay.
So are you going to breakfast again, or where are they taking you? You don't know. You don't care. You just want free food.
That was not right.
What do you mean wasn't right?
I'd be glad to pay. I'm okay.
I think you should. You know what? I think you should at least buy Ed breakfast.
Well, if I'm going to buy Ed breakfast, I'm going to buy Tim breakfast, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're both going to be there.
Yeah. It says, "Hey, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Hello to all the listeners around the globe. We have spent several years in a prophetic, apostolic community that had everyone spinning their wheels trying to climb a slippery slope. We like the other two listeners who wrote in moments ago. Don't want to sound conceited, but it is disheartening to see fellow believers not hungry enough for God and stay in their comfort zone. It took a lot of courage to make that final decision and leave the church, and we're told that we were deceived and can't hear God for ourselves, but we always had that gut feeling that there was always more of God to access. It's so true what Jim said about being among other believers, that are just not finding God, and the leaders forcing everyone into a mold that produces more of themselves, cloning, and renounces personal expression as an individual that can hear from God for yourself. This week, God has instructed us to be more resolute, unwavering, and determined in the conviction of our heart about grace. Thanks again. Oh, this is from the Millets.
Oh, nice.
This is from the Millets by the South Pole, Trinidad and Tobago. They sent us a... You know, the globe is sitting here in the barn on the side of the table behind one of the computer screens. What are we going to do with this globe? I got to, like, build a shelf or something, or... I mean, I don't know where to put it exactly.
Maybe. We'll come up with something. I got the scripture if you want to know.
Yeah, read that scripture.
And I want to look at a couple different translations. Well, the scripture before says, "Therefore by him, by God, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." This is over in Hebrews 13, verse 17. "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner." That's Paul talking, okay? So, you know, it alludes here to obey those who rule over you. In other words, I know what they're looking at. You know, if you're going someplace, those that have the whatever, you know, that are leading the parade, so to speak,
right,
obey them. But notice it says, "For they watch out for your souls." Because in another scripture I have, notice, and this is going to have to be interpreted correctly, and this is over in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." So now here were individuals that were religious leaders of the synagogue that were getting ready to persecute the disciples for experiencing God and having a relationship when they didn't. And Peter's response was, "We ought to obey God rather than men."
Well, so the way you interpret that is just because an organization or a person standing in front of a pulpit, or matter of fact, a radio station in a barn in
right.
Oklahoma,
very good,
says something, just because it's you or me or Ranger,
uh-huh,
that doesn't mean that it is to supersede Scripture.
Your own relationship with God and what
it's
the Bible
individual.
Says. Yes.
We got a text here. It says, "Loving the show tonight, Pastor Stephen Braswell, Destiny Bible Church, Lancaster, South Carolina."
Yep.
And the Millets, who sent us the globe,
right,
and who just sent that email, current weather conditions at the South Pole, Antarctica, right now, current, it's 94 degrees below zero. That's minus 94. It's 94 degrees below zero with a 13-mile-an-hour wind, gust to 17 miles an hour. The skies are clear. Visibility, 7 miles or greater. Wind chill, 137 degrees below zero right now in Trinidad, Tobago.
People might actually be believing you right now.
Hello, National Weather Service, Telecommunications Operations Center. It even says time, July 29th, and it's giving the current time.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It's the National Weather Service.
All right, okay.
You're telling me that that the National Weather Service you disagree with the wind chill at 100 miles.
Now, you said this with the South Pole, though, right?
South Pole, Antarctica,
okay,
to include Tobago and Trinidad. We got a globe. It's right there.
I see it. I see it.
You know, your attitude, Huckaday, sometimes is not conducive to meteorology.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
That's correct.
Hey, we got an email here. It says, "Hi, Jim, BJ and Ranger. Great show and comments tonight as usual. The message is right on the money. Seeing some good things at our Friday night meetings." Friday night meetings.
Well, good. Is that Bob?
Yeah, it's Bob Mendetto, the guy that sends us a business card.
Yeah.
And it says, "Thanks for sowing this absolute message into our lives. Love you guys. Bob from New Jersey." Or as BJ would say, business card Bob.
See?
Business card Bob.
He's got your number or you've got his.
P.S. I'd like to tell the Millets to bundle up and stay warm. See, even Bob in New Jersey. No, Bob.
He didn't write that.
No, really.
Oh, he did?
No.
Oh, thanks.
No, but I think Bob would.
Oh, he's a very kind man.
Hey, he's got this card on his email. Every card's got this email. And, you know, he's in a tie, he's in a suit. And
that's because he's a realtor.
Well, I know he's a real person. You don't have to say he's real.
Lord.
Why do you have to say he's real? Bob, I'm sorry. I know you're real. You know,
a realtor.
I know he's real, Jim. Thank you. Okay. Hello. Jeez.
Okay.
Sometimes, folks. We got another email. It says, "Hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Listening from Pickering, Ontario. My husband and I have been listening to your archived messages and have been applying what we have been hearing and noticing grace in our daily life. Thank you for your weekly program. Yes, we have been noticing also the message we hear on Sundays is not changing us in any way, where in fact we have stopped going to our local church or building." It says that, or building. "My husband, a question is now about tithing. Where does it go? What does the Bible say? Thank you." You know, you give your answer, and then I'm going to give my answer, because my answer is which will be shocking to some, is going to be a little different than yours, because usually...
Well, I mean, as far as Scripture that gives us insight into giving, you know, the Lord tells us to give of the very first fruits, you know, the very first that comes in. Give, honor the Lord with your tithe, with your first fruits. And in the Old Covenant, of course, God had the tithe be something that was given to the Lord, and it became a means of provision for the priests, the Levites, that were working the sacrifices and the altars and taking care of the temple. And so we know that that's something that Abraham did with Melchizedek, even before there was law, before the law that came through Moses, the Ten Commandments, all of that. So it was given, it was done in Abraham's day just out of honor and out of respect for God, that he would give of his best back to the Lord. We saw that principle with Cain and Abel. And we know that Jesus made comments about give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, men shall give unto your bosom. So there's a principle of giving and receiving. Well, for the question that's being asked, if you don't have a place where you can go, well, then you need to give. If you're going to give, if you want to give, you want to honor God with your money, then you would want to honor him. We would call it, as far as the Word of God shows us, in good ground, in soil that's going to produce. So honor him someplace where you can tell that the work that's being done is producing, helping people to experience God, to make a connection with God. Well, find a place where you can do that. But the point is, you don't try to make it, if I give, God's going to give to me. God's already given to you. Let your giving be something that becomes out of a cheerful heart of thanksgiving and out of honor to God for what he's done for you. That's my answer.
Well, that's pretty good. Mine's going to be a smidgen different.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
Well, I know what your smidgens are.
What? Okay, what does that mean? A smidgen is a smidgen. A small amount of distance or volume measurement.
But that's an interpretation.
Yeah, so what's your point?
I think your smidgen's probably going to be a little bigger than maybe a smidgen.
And I've got to qualify this.
Sure.
Because this is the way I look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
From mission trips to South Africa, to tithing to a building or structure, to giving money to the Boy Scouts or United Way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or to those guys in Santa's hats ringing the bell at the holiday, the Goodwill.
Right.
Or no.
No, the Salvation Army. Army, right.
At Christmas time. Okay. This is what I believe. And I get in so much trouble on my radio show, which I don't care, with people that are trying to save wild horses and burros in the West because they sign petitions and they hold rallies trying to keep the government from killing wild horses and burros, which they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more serious. You know, if the American people knew what the U.S. government was doing with their tax dollars, literally just rounding up horses with helicopters and sending them to Mexico for slaughter. But the average person doesn't know anything about it. But anyways, this is what I tell them. When you sign a petition, when you write a check and you give it to somebody, at first you feel a sense of participation and accomplishment. But then you wonder how much of that is really going to go to what you want it to go to. Is it going to make a difference? Is it going to help? I tell this to people that unless you live out in the middle of nowhere, that no matter the size of your town or your community, there are people within spitting distance of you that need assistance, that would take it. And with just a little bit of a positive nudge, whether it's your time and your energy to fix windows and doors, or even if it's just a couple dollars out of your wallet, that there are people that literally are right around you that can benefit. It's the same with animals. Mm-hmm. It's great that you want to save the whales. It's great that you don't want puppies and kittens to be killed every day in pounds and animal shelters. But yet, there's stray cats and dogs in your little part of the world.
Right.
Now, this is my point. When it comes to tithing, and when it comes to try to do something with your bounty, and to show that you have a relationship with Christ, there are small things that get overlooked because of a big picture end result.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the trees in the forest because they're trying to accomplish something that is so big and great past the forest. But what they don't realize is the whole message of the guys is the individual tree to help who's with you.
Right.
At hand. You know, there's no reason why Jesus and the guys couldn't have made every leper healed, every blind person see, every crippled person walk when Jesus is walking around. He literally could have just stood on a hilltop and looked down on a small village or farm and said, 1, 2, 3, everybody's just like me. Hocus pocus locus, now you're fine. But he didn't. Because the guys realize that in each of us, we have to understand that we're empowered with God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that empowerment comes with a fiduciary responsibility of participation. And that writing a check or signing a petition, as good as it is, it's not good enough. That it's about activity. That it's about participation. Because the more that an individual participates, the more that a person uses grace, the more grace they'll see. and the more grace is in a position to help them.
Hmm.
And even out of the best intentions, I think that sometimes results will not avail themselves, which is a shame, because then someone is in a position. I've worshipped in this building for my whole life. I've tithed to this building my whole life, and it just seems to never end, and nothing is ever accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's plenty of testimonies like that.
All right, let's see if we got any more emails. Let's see. I thought we had one more here. Oh, we do. It says, Jim, I know Word of Faith teaching very well. I'm curious if your idea of tithing is in the way it's been taught has evolved. I had a very hard time to let go of tithing in the way I've seen taught. I was almost afraid. Well, I can't answer that because I want to see something tangible.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't write checks. I buy people food.
Right.
You know?
Well, and of course that goes to the whole idea of, like you said, the specifics of being able to reach out. And even as James said, if you've got a coat and you see somebody shivering, give it to them. And if you don't give it to them, then what's your religion all about? And that's really a great point. And then even the disciples, if you'll remember, everybody, the disciples, when they were talking to one another, they always stressed, and one more thing that I want to make sure, take care of widows and give to the poor. And then the others would say, and that's one thing that we desire to do too. So in other words, there's a, like you said, a responsibility to reach out and to give and to help people to have what they don't have. When you see the need.
I haven't ever brought this up because it really never fit. I didn't think it wasn't that it wasn't appropriate. I just thought that it didn't really make sense to what we were talking about. I don't recall when this happened, but it's been about a year ago. And it's getting a little better now, but around Oklahoma, it's tough to find gas stations that don't have ethanol. That they sell old-fashioned gas that doesn't have corn oil in it. No ethanol gas. It's always more money, but it's so much better for every machine you put it in. And I happened to be in downtown Tulsa. I was in a hurry. I didn't have a lot of gas in my truck. It was like 100 degrees outside. And I got lost, and so I stopped at this McDonald's. And I went through the drive-thru. And I just said, I just didn't place an order. I went up to the window and I said, look, there's an old fashioned gas station that's got to be really close to you. I said, they wash your windows, they check your oil. And the girl, she says, oh yeah, their prices are sky high. And I go, yeah, where's the sky high gas at? And she says, oh, it's just around the corner on a one-way street. Well, you know, it was a one-way street, throwing me off. Uh-huh. And she said, you have to go here and you have to go there. And I says, well, why can't I make a left? She goes, it's the wrong way. And I says, well, I got a big truck. I got four-wheel drive. I'll be fine. And she just laughed. And I looked across the street, and there was these three guys, you know, sitting there. Well, I tried to place an order. And she said, no, you have to go back through. So long story short, I have to go back around through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and I ordered three cheeseburgers, three fries, and three cartons of milk. And I said, put them in three bags. And I paid for it. And I thought, man, I bet this guy doesn't take checks, you know, or debit cards. I bet it's mm-hmm. cash money mm-hmm. for, you know, gas. And I was kind of low on cash because I just, you know, blew a lot of money right. on tractor parts and candy. So I go across the street, and I roll down my window, and I go, you guys having a good day? And they go, oh, yeah. And the guy says, you know, he says, hey, can you spare a dollar? And I says, no. And I says, but. And I literally just took each bag and just kind of pitched it at him. And I said, here, I says, Ronald McDonald says hi. And they started laughing.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at my gas gauge. And when I left that parking lot, my gauge went from a quarter of a tank to full. And I went to that gas station, and I went to get gas, and I says, fill up my tank. And he says, well, he says, it's $7. And I had $10 in my wallet. And I goes, well, I'm really sorry. And he says, well, I just appreciate you stopping. He says, most people wouldn't stop when they got 3/4 of a tank or more. And I said, well, I did. You know, and
right.
And so I go there, talk to the guy, and you know. But this is the point I'm trying to make in a metaphor or simile, like that guy said. This is the point. If you're truly, genuinely doing something from
right.
the heart,
right.
that's decent and good,
mm-hmm.
and it has no ulterior motives.
Yeah, good.
Whether your vehicle is on empty or full, whether it's raining, sleeting, or snowing, whether it's going to make you late for work, if you're truly doing something from the heart because you have the resources and the tools to facilitate something positive with the mindset that you don't care and you don't want anything in return, why somebody worries about bills to be paid, being late for work,
right.
gas in a tank is beyond me. Because what you're really saying is you want to do something really good, but you don't want it to bite you in the back pockets. If you're truly doing what is the Christian message from Christ,
right.
why would there not be more than enough wind in your sails?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't the route you're traveling, the sea, be calm? Because if it isn't, then that means the entire book is wrong.
Right.
Because when you try to do good, and you are doing good, and you're making sacrifices to help others and to do the right thing, you're going to get screwed. Yeah. I don't see that in Scripture.
Right, right.
The only thing I see that's close to that is organized religion, where it says, we'll pray for you. Do you want a $10 prayer or a $25 prayer? Or do you want a $100 prayer? We have people waiting, and you can pay with debit or credit cards. Now, there you go.
Yep. Any more emails? Because I'm going to open up a subject here.
You know what? Let me check. I'll refresh the screen. Looks like, okay, we don't have any emails. Let me look at the barn wall. We got one here. It says, BJ, we are working on loosening business card Bob up. It says Robin Dorothea.
Oh, yeah, they're their friends.
Well, I got to tell you something about business card Bob, okay? Because this business card, he looks business-like. I mean, he's got this professional look about him, and the picture has got his white shirt and tie and jacket. Just once, I would like to see a picture of business card Bob wearing sunglasses and like a Hawaiian flowered shirt.
Well, I'm sure they can find one for you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they'll like that.
You know, or maybe throwing a bowling ball down the lane.
Right, right.
You know, on the side of the road, being frisked by a state trooper, you know, something out of the, well, maybe not that. I mean, hey, Bob, I just want to let you know, we don't do bail money. Do we do bail money?
No.
No, we don't do bail money, folks.
No.
Safety tip.
Right. Okay, so here's my subject, and I'm going to preface it. I always have interesting conversations with BJ in the ranch here, in the barn, and, I think this one was probably about, it had to be about a year ago that you just out of nowhere said, I'm so glad I'm not you. Do you see, people? He can't even deny it. He has to laugh. He has to laugh.
And you know,
I need some music. We need some music.
I don't even know.
We need my funny song. Dun, dun.
Hold on. Let me find
dun,
it.
Dun,
dun. It's true. And you know what? I didn't even say that with a smile on my face.
No, you were totally serious.
Yeah, I literally just said, Jim, I am so glad I'm not you.
And my comment was, what now, BJ? Okay. All right, now I'll get to my point. That really helped a lot. I'm sure everybody appreciated that music. It's such good music. Okay. I said to him, what now, BJ? And he looked at me and said, "Well, when I came to Christ, I had a blank slate. You're still erasing." And I said, "Oh, thanks." Now, you have to understand, when you're hungry for something and you really desire to have God, why in the world would you be offended at anything? There's just no room for offense. I don't have time to be offended at something if it's going to help me. So I wasn't offended at all. But then, of course, you know, a little bit of the dog look there, because I had to think about what he's saying is I'm still erasing. In other words, if the chalkboard still has chalk on it, you have to erase it first before you can start over to actually put the right thing on it. Okay. Well, I recognize and realize there's a truth to that. Now, I'm not erasing as much as I'm not needing to erase as much now as I was erasing then. I'm getting very close to literally having erased what I need to erase. But let me share this with you. This is a really, really good thought and a really deep topic, and yet let's keep it simple. Let me ask you something here. How many of you, and you don't even have to write in, but you could if you wanted to. If you've ever talked to somebody that's actually served what you might call negative energy, Satan, been involved in some type of witchcraft or some type of desire to call on wrong spirits or different things of that nature. You know what you find when you talk to people like that is they don't have a problem having what you might call, and I know this isn't a word we like to use, but manifestations. They don't have a problem with having experiences. They can tell you right away, it didn't take long for me to have an experience with darkness or with some type of spirit or et cetera, et cetera. I think you know where I'm going with this. So then that makes you kind of just ask some questions. Well, should darkness, negative energy, be able to provide people with greater experiences than God's love for his children? I mean, is God playing like hide-and-go-seek games, or is he actually there desiring to meet you right where you're at and help you to experience him and to know how real he is and then have a desire to go further and experience God more? You see, if you ask a question like that and then you relate your poor experiences to what you know about God, you'd almost have to say, through experience, I think God's holding out on us. I think, you know, that he's making it difficult. I mean, how many times have I heard people say, you know, I just wish this faith stuff wasn't so hard. And what are they saying by saying that? I'm not having any experiences with God at all. Well, now you understand why we talk about not just the goodness of God, but we also talk about the negativity of religion, of society, of the way that the world spins. Because, folks, I've just helped to open up to you through these couple of illustrations and through the initial illustration of BJ saying, "I'm sure glad I'm not you." I've just opened up to you a real can of worms that shows you the effectiveness of religion, how damaging it is to something that should be so simple and real.
You look at somebody that is that's been arrested, tried, convicted, and sent to prison for the rest of their lives, and you hear about them finding Jesus and how they're newborn, they're saved. Somebody who is in a horrific automobile accident, and they're just laid up for months and months, multiple surgeries. The old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes war.
Right.
The people that are adrift after their plane crashes in the ocean in a life raft. A small child A grandparent or a parent who is within 3 to 5 years of dying of old age, and their family has kind of passed them by and they're on their own. They might see them at holidays, but for all intents purposes, they're not really in the game anymore. I'm not saying they're not loved or respected. I'm just saying that their family and friends are going 85 miles an hour, and they're basically coasting with the engine off. These type of people all have one thing in common. Whether it's from a plane crash, an automobile crash, committing a crime, to just being a child, or to getting old, or some type of an illness, they all are not in society. They're on the fringes of what we call reality.
Mm-hmm.
Their jobs don't matter. Their bills don't matter. The television shows don't matter. And after a while, friends just don't come around because they've got bills and life goes on. I've been there, done that. So in no uncertain terms, even though it's usually out of tragedy and misfortune, they're literally able to accept a new life, a new way of looking at the world and themselves. Their hearts and minds are open, not out of choice, but out of sheer bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And health issues. And it is at this point where they find themselves so easily availed to God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has changed except how they live their lives, how they spend their days, and not what is important, but all the things that don't matter anymore.
Right, right.
Now, that's extremely humbling. And it gives you free time. It gives your heart and your mind all kinds of time to consider and to see and to reflect and recall. But when you're working 40, 50 hours a week, and there's bills to pay and mortgages and car payments, and back to school clothes to buy, and the holidays are just around the corner, when do you have time to clear your thoughts, to clear your mind, and to open your heart?
Yeah. Well, take your thought that you're giving and then add on to it. Which what I'm going to add is just going to do nothing more than compound it with complication, which is being religious. Having been taught all your life things that have not helped you to have simple experiences with God. Regular occurrences of hearing His voice and recognizing His presence. Being in circles where the few people that do have those kind of experiences are told to you to be special people that have particular anointings upon their life or certain callings upon their life that afford them these type of experiences. And even they don't have them regularly because God does them as God chooses. Instead of as you choose. So you put all that together and you wonder why it seems like we're so far behind the eight ball, so to speak, or so far from our slate being clean. And when you think of someone that wants to know evil or experience evil in some way, not having a difficulty experiencing evil, it's not because negative energy has more power to help somebody experience God. On the contrary, he has no power at all. He's a nothing. So why would somebody have such experiences? And it goes back to your experience. They have clean slates. They don't have the religious influence that brings limitations and boundaries to the experiences of God, that places all of your affection upon a written document,
yeah,
instead of letting the document bring you and create a hunger for you to have the experiences that the person, people in the document show you that you can have. And that's the Bible. So I'm sharing this with you people over the air to let you know I'm growing again. Thank God I'm not stopping growing. I continue to progress. And I'm seeing just how real religion will keep people from what's true. It's mind-boggling to me, but now it's very real to me. Very real. Hey, we got a message. I take it we have an email.
We got an email.
Yes, we did.
Grandpa and Grandma, Outlaw Bikers, Morgan Hill, California, United States of America. Hello. Good to be back listening after 1 week away with Grace and our young teen grandson. Agree with your earlier comments. We are among those who have been erasing what we have heard in the past. Grandpa and Grandma.
That's encouraging to hear.
It is.
Yeah,
right. I hope it's the right grandpa and grandma.
Yeah, it is.
Because they didn't put Morgan Hill.
Yeah, well, I know that it is.
If it isn't, then I've just started another chapter of, senior citizens gone bad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Outlaw bikers running around the countryside. Let's see if we got,
Well, while you're checking that, let me share just a couple of scripture to back up what I said over here in John 16 and verse 7, Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." And it goes on to say in the 12th verse, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will show you things to come." Folks, I give you that scripture to help you to see that Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples and show them that it would be very simple and to their advantage to have the Holy Spirit in their life. Another passage that he gave that says the same thing here, it's in verse 19 of chapter 14. It says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And at that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." And it goes on to say, "And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Jesus is telling us that it should be simple and very easy for us to experience God, that this is something he set up to be normal, not to be difficult. Any more emails?
I think we do. It says, "Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, and the horses." Well, how about that?
That's
we got
nice.
The horses in. It says, "Greetings from Grand Lake. Enjoying Oklahoma on my way to New Jersey. Hello, New Jersey friends. Thanks for a great show tonight. Really talked to my heart. Enjoying a continued Grace adventure in the USA. Looking forward to seeing Jim tomorrow at the library." Well, this is from Sarah.
Oh, okay.
She's here from South Korea.
Oh, great.
I wonder who's doing all the horse chores, taking care of everything.
I don't know.
Well, she's in... Okay, Grand Lake is what? An hour from Tulsa?
I was going to say 45 minutes, but maybe it's an hour.
I never been there.
Yeah, I was going to say 45, but...
But she's going to be at the... Oh, about the library tomorrow night.
Yes.
Are you going to be on Facebook?
Yes, we will. Yep, and we've got a new camera, so the new camera's taking better pictures, so we should have that up and running tomorrow night, which should be very helpful for everybody to watch.
I think if Sarah's there all the way from South Korea, you need to get her on camera.
Okay. That's cool.
Say, look, everybody, this is Sarah, the first woman, the first ever horse rescue sanctuary in South Korea.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. And I'll make sure that she's okay with that.
No, just do it. Surprise her. Why would she not be okay?
Well, I wouldn't think she wouldn't, in case she's maybe shy or something. I'll just make sure that she's okay with it. But we'll do it. It'll be fun.
If she was a shy person, I don't think she would email an internet radio show saying that she's going to see you tomorrow night at a public library.
Maybe that's true, too. Yeah, maybe.
Something to consider.
Something to consider. Hey, I want to make another comment here before we're going to just wrap some things up tonight. Jesus made a comment over in John chapter 10. It's in the first five verses. He talks about being the shepherd of his sheep, of his sheep, ownership of his sheep. And he said, my sheep know me, my sheep hear my voice, and my sheep follow me. But the voice of a stranger they do not know, and they will not follow. If you really want to believe in anything, if you want to use your quote-unquote faith or your conviction for something, instead of trying to get healed when you're already healed, why don't you just use your faith or your conviction to actually place it in a position where you can know God? Take him at his word. Let's erase real quickly the religion that's kept us from things being so simple. And let's just accept what Jesus said and begin to think to yourself, I do know him. I do hear his voice. And I do follow him. And the voice of a stranger, I don't know that voice, and I don't follow that voice. It's time for us to increase. Folks, I'm feeling for all of us on this show, it's time for us to have some greater increase, greater testimonies that come in. I know you've been experiencing grace. But let's take more limitations off, because you see, what stands between us and even greater experiences with God, greater fellowship, greater testimony, is you challenging yourself to experience more of him. Take the limitations and the boundaries off.
We got an email that came in 2 minutes ago, and it starts off, please don't read my name.
Okay.
That's important. If you don't want your name mentioned, that's the first thing you got to say. It says, as with the other listeners, I was taught to tithe. When I started to hear about grace, the message just of tithing didn't compute anymore. My pastor preaches that we will be cursed if we don't tithe. But grace says that we are blessed. You can't be both blessed and cursed. If you live by grace, you are not required to do anything to earn the blessing of God. My family stopped giving 10% and started to listen to grace in our giving. Focusing on grace in our giving gave us such a sense of freedom. We have seen such an amazing increase in our finances, and we gave more money away last year listening to grace than in any year prior.
Well, I love... Here's what I love about that. I love that there's a connection.
Well, I got a question.
Yeah.
Seriously, these groups want you to shovel out 10% of your yearly income?
Well, no. We're talking about going back to the old covenant. That was something that God set as some parameters for them, for the tribes of Israel to give 10% to the Levite tribe, because they were doing the sacrifices
But that applies about those two tribes for that period of time. How can you manipulate and construe that to fast forward that 2,000 years, telling someone, making someone feel obligated that whatever they earn, 10% of it's got to go out the window?
Well, I get that, but there's other instances of individuals that weren't tied to that also gave, like Abraham. He gave of his tithe
10%
to Melchizedek, and then there's others that would give. So this is just some things that have been passed along. I think there's more religion in it than there is anything else, but I actually like the testimony that came through right here.
I don't even think it qualifies as religion or religious. I think it is. You know what? It is just so much stuff that it isn't even quality enough stuff to put in a manure spreader and put on my hay ground. We got one here. It says, wow, that was good. If not what I just said. I better qualify that. This came in, folks, about 5 minutes ago. Wow, that was good. Everything about this evening's on fire. And we got another email that just came in. It said, hi to all listening here in Minnesota. It says, oh, this is Barb. It says, Dave is in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
I wonder why he moved.
I'm sure he's just there for business.
It doesn't say. It just says, listening here in Minnesota, Barb. Dave is in Hong Kong. Hmm. Hong Kong's part of China now.
It is?
Pretty sure. I think Hong Kong's under the rule of China.
Hmm.
I mean,
I wonder what the hour difference is.
I don't know.
Is it a whole day? No, a whole half a day?
Do you want the weather report for Hong Kong?
No, I don't care. It's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I can get it right. It's right
no,
here.
No, I don't need the weather report.
It says minus 94 degrees.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm okay without the weather report.
Okay.
All right. Well, what do you think?
Well, you better say something. The music started.
Well, I trust that you've enjoyed the show tonight. Let's just ask the Lord, as Paul did, that he would give us wisdom and understanding, that we continue to have eyes that are open, hearts that are receptive, so that the grace of God and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ can be pure and perfect in our hearts. And so, like Paul said, that our eyes would be open, that we would know the reason why we're called, the hope to our calling, the glorious riches of your inheritance, and what is the great power that raised Christ from the dead. Father, I ask you to help each one of us to reach out to those, just like the story of the three guys that received the McDonald's meals. Let's just all reach out this week and see if there's someone that we could give something to that would be a real blessing to them and just be a real testimony of how our hearts are filled with the love of God and we want to reach out to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, since you didn't pick a topic tonight and I just kind of winged it, what do you think?
I think we got a lot of emails that said they really liked what was going on tonight. It's
yeah.
Just one of those nights. I mean, I didn't know how to pick a topic at the beginning. It just didn't seem to be there. So I think you winged it good. And
you literally just put your headphones on and looked at me and wondered,
what in the world is he going to say?
How's this show going to start?
Have no
What's
idea.
He going to say? Well, you usually what's new about that?
Well, that part of it is true, but we usually do we're narrowed in a whole lot more. But anyhow, I think it ended up good.
Think we were clear on point with the point we were trying to make?
I do think
whatever
we're clear.
whatever the point was.
Yeah, I think good things were discussed.
Folks, it's going to take me about 15 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and then up and streaming. But until then, last week's show will start and you can listen to it. And remember, when I do get tonight's show streaming, you'll have to log back on because you get kicked off. But not when last week's show starts. Jim and I will be here next Tuesday night. And Ranger, you want to say hi to Chubby the Poodle? It's for Chubby the Poodle. We want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Ranger.
Good night, everyone.
And remember, God spelled backwards is... That about says it, doesn't
That's
it?
That's good.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger.